the Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 22nd, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help out from the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, text me first. My cell phone is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archive, contact from information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, on YouTube, podcast, and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base worldwide, like Manila, Philippines, Israel, Helsinki, Finland, Bucharest, Romania, and in the United States this week, Lexington, Kentucky, Jacksonville, Florida, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This week, New Jersey is the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. Okay. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer. We'll bring on tonight's guest, and you'll really enjoy this program. I pray you learn from it. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, I have on with me my longtime friend, that's Stan Johnson, who with his wife founded the Prophecy Club and the Spirit of Prophecy Church. Stan has been studying prophecy 40 years and is teaching it 30 years. That might be a little outdated, which qualifies him for doing radio programs for 25 years. He's hosted over 160 speakers, making 336 DVDs, all on Bible prophecy, which, by the way, you can get. Just go over to prophecyclub.com and you'll find out how. Personally, he's recorded 37 prophecy DVDs and has memorized the book of Revelation. That's quite a feat. A man clearly of many hats, he also is the president and CEO of Prophetic Oil Incorporated, whose goal it is to find a prophesied oil in Israel. He has an important message for us tonight, so welcome back, Stan. Are you there with me?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, I'm so glad to have you, Stan. Last time that we were talked, you were getting ready to do this solemn assembly. Let's get into that tonight first and tell us how that turned out, and you've got another one coming. Back to you.
Well, it turned out awesome. You know, you advertise something like that, you never know what's going to happen. But I knew that it was God. I knew it was time. I knew that we had to do it. And I have everybody that was in the meeting says they've never been in a meeting like this. People walked in not clowning around or talking or chit-chatting. It's like nothing I've ever been in. These people walked in with their water bottles, their mats, their knee pillows, and their Bibles, and they walked in like they were going to war, and of course they were. And they walked in, they had their little notepads with their prayers written out that they were going to pray, and their shofars in hand. And I mean, when we started that meeting, we blew shofars. Everybody has remarked to me. So many people have remarked about this. And I was just listening to your shofar. Man, that guy blew that shofar. That's awesome. It is not, if you haven't tried it is not easy to make a shofar even sound at all. Much less make it sound like it's not a pig caught under a gate or something.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh at that. Because I think about myself, got to get it just right all the time. Back to you, I'm sorry.
So there's nothing like being in a room with 450 people with locked arms, all raising their shofars. Not all of them had them. Probably 40 to 60% had shofars. But here's what we did. I said, all right, we're going to blow this thing seven times like Joshua did when he circled around Jericho. We're going to blow it seven times. I said, we're not going to blow it out of order. We're going to blow it in order. Because I said, here's what we're going to do. When you see me raise my shofar, you raise your shofar, and we're going to all blow it. One full long breath until we get every bit of our breath out. Then we'll lower the shofar. We'll take a big breath and repeat. And that's what we did seven times. And it was so awesome. Matter of fact, with just a little bit of time, I could pull it up, and if I can play it, I guess I could play where you could hear it. But anyway, I probably need to send it to you because it is awesome sounding to be in a room with, 450 people. I'm going to guess there's probably 300 shofars all blowing at the same time. Why? Because, as you know, the shofar is a sound or a call to war. It's a call to war. That's what these people did. They came into this meeting for war because these are prophecy students that believe the warning of Dimitri Dudeman, Shane Warren, Michael Boldea, Leslie Johnson.
Dana?
Yeah. Dana Coverstone. But several others. They believe those prophecies, and they came in because they don't want these prophecies to come to pass. They don't want to lose our nation. They don't want to see suitcase nukes go off all across our nation. So they came in with a determined attitude. How can I explain it? It's like when I was a kid, one time my horse used to always like to step on my feet. And he knew it made me mad, and I got to where I was pretty good at pulling my foot up, so not all of his pressure would get on my foot. But I remember one time he stepped on my foot, and I said, that's it, I'm getting the quirt, which is a leather strap, and he knew he was in trouble with that. So he stepped on my foot, and I jerked up right quick, and I started walking in there, head down, aimed forward in this determined walk to get that quirt, and he saw me, and he ran to the other end of the corral. He knew he was in trouble. Well, that's the way they walked in. They walked in with their head down, their brows set, and their hands swinging back and forth, that like a mom does when I'm going to get the belt. you're in trouble. And that's what they did, because they were going to get the belt to use it on the devil. And they came in. I mean, yeah, we did praise worship. Yeah, there was a few talks by the ministers that were pretty motivating and guiding and directing. But as I said, these prayers, these five-minute prayers dusted all of the members. They left them. I saw little old ladies get up there, and they were shaking, and their paper was rattling. But they were determined to pray. Five-minute limit, okay? And there's somebody standing there with a clock, a stopwatch in hand, and they kindly step forward, time's up, or, 10 seconds or 20 seconds or something like that to let them know how much time they got. But I saw them stand up there, paper shaking, but they were determined. They were determined because they knew they had 450 other brothers and sisters in the Lord praying in agreement with them, and it was like, it's about time. It's about time I finally have my say, and I'm going to stand up here, by golly, I'm going to tell the devil what it's all about.
That's wonderful. I got a question for you.
These little ladies tearing into that microphone, man. Wait, let me finish my story.
Okay.
So then, there's typically 10, 15 people in line. Now, at 5 minutes each, you know, you're talking about quite a while before you can get back up there. I saw these little old ladies, they'd go back to back of that line, they'd pull out their little spiraling notebook, they start writing up another prayer, and they get back up on this time, they're even more animate. And they're even more, I mean, they're just chewing up that microphone. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, this is a question that I think it lingers on a lot of people's mind, and I need you to point out how important this is in the sense that, from your experience, Stan, you know, there's a lot of things prophesied coming, you know, with the different people you mentioned, and let alone the recent dreams of Dana Coverstone, which I guess he had a new one, of course. But the point is can this number of people actually make a difference? Can it? Back to you.
Well, of course, that's the thing we're praying, and that's the thing we don't know. And I asked Coverstone that in a broadcast I did Monday. It aired Tuesday, and another part of it Wednesday. I asked him that very thing, and he said, "Well, we believe so." He says, "I know that our prayers were answered." And I said, "I do too." I said, "I know we heard them, but now whether us praying and all the other people praying across the land has done enough to roll it back, I don't know." However, I just said this in a radio broadcast of mine that's going to air tomorrow. Let me scroll down here to it. Okay. It says, in the month of, this is August 10th, 2020, Coverstone. I dreamt I saw the month of October. As a page on the calendar, it was waving, it was as if it was blown in a strong wind, skipping down a little bit. And I saw a finger, this is the finger of the angel, point to the second week and go down to the third week of October, and pointed to October 31st and held it in that position and tapped it and held it there. Then I saw a rock fly out of the sky and land in a large pond. Now, I used to think that that was probably a meteor, but there's been nothing in terms of America splitting Israel for the meteor to come. So I believe it is saying that this trouble is going to spread across the land like ripples in a pond. Now, here's the part that answers part of your question. Simultaneously, in the second week of October, I saw these wicks coming out of the heads of federally elected officials, and the higher ones were M80s, the governors were black cats, and then everyone else was like ladyfingers. All their heads blew up at the same time. Sparks started flying all around. Well, okay, we're not all the way through the month of October so far, so we don't know for certain if that we passed that. But I think there's a good possibility that at least we've softened or delayed what we couldn't pray away. And that's what we're trying to do. Let me say it again. We're trying to soften and delay what we can't pray away. Soften and delay what we can't pray away. But here we are on October 22. Okay, that is 9 more days in the month. I understand that. But at least so far, there's nothing big, been big and bad. I want to believe that we prayed a softening and a delay to these M80 firecrackers. However, my suspicion is that we're probably still looking at that, and that's probably the arrests of close to a million people, these 199,000 sealed indictments out there. But we're not sure. Back to you.
Right. Well, you know, let's go with this. We have to, things have gotten a little more encouraging, you know, for the people of Yahweh since that assembly. It really has. And, you know, I keep a close eye. I'm a news hawk. I keep a close eye on the news. And, you know, and as far as arrests stand, I really do look for arrests, but I just don't think they're going to come until right after the election. And then I think everything changes, absolutely. But I do think if things are better, if you ask me before it happened, I was pretty gloom about it all. And now I'm lifted up a lot better. So I think these prayers are working. In the past, now listen, I know you're fast track team. You have them pray for you every week. They fast, they do a smaller fast, of course, but you have them pray for things. And I follow that. I've seen those changes. Mm-hmm. It's just the same kind of thing. Back to you.
Well, I believe that we can say yes, to a degree, we have seen a softening or a delay because we haven't seen the big bad things arrive yet. Now, again, if we make it till March 27th and can say that, I'm going to really shout hallelujah and do cartwheel. But like the whole program that I made today on Prophecy Club is, I said, is Dana Coverstone a modern Jonah? See, because I think Jonah was one of the best prophets of the Old Testament simply because he sold his message. He got the king to take off his kingly robes, set in ashes. He called a fast of all people, fast of water and food. Now get this, water and food, of all people and animals. As a result, God delayed the judgment for 40 years instead of 40 days. Well, I would love to think that God would give America another 40 years. I think that's asking a whole lot, but nevertheless, we don't know. We're going to pray it. Here's another thing to watch for, skipping down about three paragraphs. Then I saw, and this is, what I'm going to read here is going to sound negative, but I believe it's actually positive, and I have to be careful of my words, because before we even start reading this, I'm talking about Proverbs 13:22, and I'm talking about information that comes from finalwakeupcall.info. Anyway, it says, and this is from Dana Coverstone of Prophecy. Then I saw a $100 bill the size of a flag hanging on a flagpole burning on one corner. It was being lowered like a flag lowered at the end of the day. People had their hands over their hearts and were crying because the God of money was being lowered. Well, we suspect that this Proverbs 13:22 thing, you got to look that up, I can't talk about it directly, but this Proverbs 13:22 thing is now close. I'll say it that way. People have the hands of their hearts crying because the God of money was being lowered. Then the dollar lost its value. It burned until only one-third of it was left, meaning only one-third of its value was left. To the protesters, the death of the dollar was celebration. Many people were celebrating while others were devastated, totally torn up by the death of the dollar, and the value of the American dollar was dying. I heard someone playing taps in the background. Well, what's so important about that? Well, Daniel Davis, a missionary to Costa Rica, I think it is, came and spoke to Prophecy Club back in 2012. Made a DVD called I Saw the Death of Dollar, I Saw the Dollar Dead, which you can watch instantly at watchprophecyclub.com. In that, he said, I saw a government official step to a microphone and said, ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement to make. He said, the United States, as you have known it, has ceased to exist. All property lines are dissolved, and the dollar, the U.S. dollar, is worthless. Now, that sounds real bad, but I think it relates to this. And actually, brothers and sisters, this is a good thing. This is actually them removing the Moloch and the Baal worshippers who do human sacrifice just as in the days they did when Joshua went into Jericho and things like that, where he was told to kill man, woman, child, all animals, everything. He was told to not take anything out of the city that doesn't pass through the fire. Why? It's not because they had germs on them, because it was so filthy, because they were doing human sacrifice. Animal sacrifice was not the thing. It was human sacrifice. They were heating up the hands of Baal, the cow god, till they're white hot, and then they lay their newborn children on the hands and watch them cook. And that's the way they worship their God, and that's the same thing. See, these same thing, these Moloch and Baal worshipers have controlled our financial system for over 300 years. This is the replacing of the Baal worshipers. This is bringing in a new system. I can't say it exactly. Yes, I know things I can't say. But it's bringing in a new system. And it's all based upon Proverbs 13:22. Proverbs 13:22 says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, if we want to know how Coverstone is doing here, what we will see, in my opinion, we will see a big change in the dollar and a new system come in. And since he's saying this happens in October, since we got 9 days in October, if this thing happens, we can say Coverstone hit it right on. Then you go to Shane Warren. Shane Warren said he saw a great wealth transfer coming to the hands of the church. He said people could no longer go to the government for help And then, of course, Terry Bennett said that when the checks from the government stop, the trouble will ensue. Okay, well, what are we looking at right now? Nancy Pelosi and Trump are battling over this PPP thing. Pelosi is saying, no, you're going to give me all the money I want. Donald Trump is saying, no, I'm not going to give you all the money you want. And instead, because of their fussing and fighting, there might not be any more checks going out. Well, that just happens to be fitting at the right time. Then if we go to what Shane Warren said, he said that they're not going to be able to go to the government for help anymore. Why? Because all of the death of the dollar. What this is saying is if this is accurate, we should see some kind of a big change having to do with that. And it's saying it in October. So, I don't know. We will look and we will see. Now, again, none of this comes from me. All of this comes from finalwakeupcall.info and based upon Proverbs 13:22.
Okay, a couple of things real quick, and I'll let you say something else again real quick before break. For the record, part of the reason that that Pelosi is using it, she's using a roadblock that we can't get past. Forget about the money part. She's put in there that all illegals be allowed to vote and all illegals be able to get a check and some other things like that that she will not budge on, and that is why it's not going anywhere. She doesn't want it to go anywhere. So don't look for it at all, and I'm talking to my audience. I know you know better. But so that is what we're looking at. Well, Stan, we got about a minute roughly before break. Tell them about the Watchman's Trumpet and everything, because when we come back, we're going to talk about this new Solomon Assembly, and we want them to be able to find it. Okay, back to you. Got about 40 seconds.
As Coverstone said, he was commanded to speak into the ear, calling people to come into agreement and pray with him. I am speaking into the ear and to the Spirit, and I'm speaking to all of the prophecy students, and I'm asking you to come to Topeka, Kansas, and to fast 12 hours and to pray with us, and you find out all of the details by going to watchmanstrumpet.com. It's on Halloween. We're going to fast for 12 hours, blow our shofar, and we're going to pray. Go to watchmanstrumpet.com. In the name of Jesus, all of the prophecy students out there, I'm speaking into your spirit. I'm asking you to come. If you believe in Bible prophecy, if you believe in this nation, want to save this nation, go to watchmanstrumpet.com. Watchmanstrumpet.com. Read every word of it, get signed up, and come to Topeka, Kansas for Halloween. That's in 9 days from now.
Yeah.
Watchmanstrumpet.com.
Okay, amen. And also, Stan, when you go to prophecyclub.com, right at the first it says Watchman's Trumpet. Can't they go there and just click on it and get there?
I'm not.
You haven't seen it, right?
Okay. But you can download all the Coverstone Dreams at watchmanstrumpet.com.
Okay. Okay. Well, amen. Anyway, folks, yes, at Prophecy Club, it says Watchman's Trumpet. It says reserve your spot. But we will I will post the link, direct link to it and everything, and we'll come back, Stan, in about 3 or 4 minutes. I think it's 4. We'll be right back.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go and let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus can save. On the cross his life blood he gave. He poured it out to sinners. He's looking for a sinner. So tell them that he rose from the grave. Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go. And let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus is King. Peace and love and joy he will bring. And when they feel like dying and there's no use in trying, let's tell them Christ is everything. God's on the throne and gives them every good thing they own. Let's teach them to be grateful and pray that they'll be faithful, that he's the best friend they've ever known.
Greece or Grecia had very little immediate significance to the writers of the Old Testament. From a prophetic standpoint, however, Greece was extremely important. The prophet Daniel, relating a vision he had been given, foretold of the fall of the Medo-Persian Empire and the rise of the powerful Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great. At the height of his power in 323 BC, Alexander the Great died in Babylon, having conquered a vast area stretching from Greece to India, including Egypt and Israel. Little by little, Rome gained dominance over the Grecian Empire. Even so, Hellenistic thought continued to prevail for hundreds of years after the birth of Christ. At the death of Caesar Augustus, the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire stretched from Spain to the Caspian Sea. Christ was tried, found not guilty, but yet crucified under the direction of the Roman government. Christianity was born and grew up in this setting. Later, many Roman emperors came to power, commanding adherence to their own versions of paganism. By the year 321 AD, the faith of the first century believers had almost vanished, and a blend of sun worship and the true worship of the Creator had been substituted. Almost, for God has always preserved a faithful remnant. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
To Pastor Dan Catlin. This is Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We're talking with Stan Johnson about Solemn Assembly and some other things. We'll get right back to him. I just want to add this to you, folks. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, of course. You can donate online, over the phone, check or money order, any of those things. Call me, whatever. We'll get your donation. We do need your help, and we're trying to make sure that we get ahead, and we are. Do have a donation company coming that's going to help us do that, but all of your household really needs to be in order before November 3rd because I really don't know what's going to happen. And now we're back with Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club. Are you still with me, Stan?
Yes, sir, but I just emailed you. I don't know if you got the email, but I would like to take a couple of minutes and say something about your ministry and encourage people to support your ministry. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
You know,
I didn't see the email, but go ahead.
In the 28 years where we had 160 guest speakers make 330 DVDs, we would pay their airfare, the hotel, their meals for them to come in, take up a nice offering. And for all of that work, would you like to guess, out of those 160 speakers, how many of them turned back to say thank you? How many of them, and the answer is one, by the way. How many of them, when they were done speaking, just said, Stan, hold on just a minute. And I know you're about to take an offering from me, but I want to say just how much I appreciate the Prophecy Club and to just stop everything and say, I want everyone to take an offering for Prophecy Club. You know, in 28 years, we never had anyone bother to turn and say thank you to that degree. So I want to do that for you right now. Now, I want to say, I know Dan in a way that you listeners out there don't know Dan. When Prophecy Club started in 1993, it seemed like Dan popped up out of the woodwork almost immediately. He was in my front door, hat in hand, very humble, saying, I want to be a part. I love prophecy. I want to be a part of your meetings. So he came to the meetings. He would bring in our inventory filled with these blue boxes with books and then videotapes, which are much heavier than the DVDs that we do today. And he would bring in, at the beginning it was 2 to 4, but it wasn't long before it was 6 to 8 of these big, blue, heavy plastic bins full of books and videos. He kept them in his garage and home. Every month, him and some other guys would bring in those boxes. I remember when I would pull up in Wichita, and here's Pastor Dan out there, like a little puppy dog, wagging his tail, just can't wait to see for us to come in to that meeting. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. But Dan loves the Lord. Dan loves people, and Dan loves the homeless. So he would bring in those boxes. He'd set up all of those books and all of those videotapes. People come up to the table. He would take the order. He would count the offering. And if that wasn't enough, then when he's done, he would count up all of the inventory, pack it back in the boxes, take it back home, and do it again next month. Then one time he come in, he said, Stan, I'm thinking about starting a newsletter. Would you mind if I put it on your table? And I said, Dan, you know, we don't allow anybody to put anything on our tables, even business cards or anything like that. I said, but in your case, I'll make an exception. You can put your newsletter on the table. So he started putting his newsletter down. People took it. They were impressed with what he had. Before long, it was getting to where it was a pretty big stack of his newsletters. Next thing I know, he's at one of the meetings. And I can't remember how it exactly started, but I remember I said, I think this is the way it went. Dan will remember better than me, but I said, Dan, I said, I'd like to pray for you. I said, I feel impressed to anoint you as a prophet of the Lord. He said, well, whatever you think. And I said, well, would you mind if I really anoint you? He said, no, that's fine. So we pulled down a piece of plastic we had there right quick, and he stood in the center of the plastic, and I picked up a quart jar of olive oil, and I poured it over. It was a glug, 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 glug. And he tried to get out from under it, and I practically chased him around the room. I got all that whole quart of oil on him, and I anointed him with oil to be a prophet of the Lord. He'll tell you his life changed from that moment. If I'm getting my story correct, and I know you probably told it before, but shortly after that, the Lord spoke to him. Audible voice, telling him to minister to the homeless. Now, here's, I say all that to get to this. I can remember times in my life when I said to people that were homeless, come up begging, and I'm ashamed of what I'm about to tell you. I tell you this because if this is your heart, it's the wrong heart. I don't believe this is your heart, but don't get anywhere close to this. This is wrong, what I'm about to say. But a homeless person come up and they'd ask for a donation or something, and I just kind of turned my head and I said, go get a job. You know, I didn't understand. But Dan is one of those people that helped me to understand. And he said, you know, Stan, most people that are unemployed, that are homeless, if you ask them, the number one thing they want, let me say it again, the number one thing they want more than anything is they want a job. They want to be normal. They want to have teeth, look like everybody's teeth, hair that looks like everyone's hair, 2 feet that work like everyone's feet, 2 hands that work like everybody. They want to be normal, but they just aren't. It just, that's just the way it is. They just have a problem. I remember Tony came up when I was pastoring a church in Topeka, and he'd been with us for over a year. You know, I never said anything, and finally he came up. I was talking to him. I said, Tony, why don't you go get a job? And he teared up. And I knew I'd said the wrong thing. So, man, he teared up. And he said, you know, the thing I want more than anything, Pastor, is I want to have a job. He said, but I took a lot of drugs when I was a foolish young man, and it fried my brain. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. He said, it fried my brain. And he said, I can't think. I can't keep a job. I said, even flipping burgers. He said, even flipping burgers. He said, I go in, I make too many mistakes. I burn it. I put it out raw. I get the wrong count. I can't keep my thoughts straight. I can't hold a job. And so he's on disability. Okay, fine. I understand. It's his fault. But here's the way God looks at it. Let me read this. Exodus 22:22, you shall not afflict a widow or a fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. What is that saying? If we don't take care of those people less fortunate than us, is that saying that God is going to turn around and even the score? Well, you know, it's too scary for me to think about. I don't want anyone to do that. So one thing I know is you put money into the hands of a widow or a fatherless or homeless, you put money into the hands of someone that cannot pay you back. And there's another scripture, I don't have it right in front of me, but there's another scripture said, then God pays you back. Then he is obligated to pay you back. If you want an absolute surefire way to prosper and get ahead, the thing you do is give in to Pastor Dan's ministry. I've seen him go up and hug people, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, I wouldn't hug him. I'm telling you, I wouldn't hug him. You know, and you know, I'm thinking lies. You know, what kind of cootie's going to jump on me? He goes over and hugs them and loves on them, and he does the work for them. I'm sorry, I Leslie and I talked about it. That's just not us. We can't do that. But I tell you what, we give into his ministry. We give, and we give, and we give. And I was just thinking today. I just looking at our balance. I'm saying, I don't even understand how come I can give all this away, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So Pastor Dad calls. He needs some money. He didn't have to ask me twice. I mean, I send it. Is that right, Pastor Dan?
Amen. Amen. And we really do appreciate what the Prophecy Club's done for us. A couple of small things. Yeah, that was at one of your crusades. That was for pastors, prophets, and something else. And I came to help out, but you asked me personally to come, and I said, I don't know why I'm not any of those. And Then you anointed me. It took me forever to get that oil out of my hair, I'll tell you that. amen. And as far as the homeless and poor go, you know, because we don't question which are which. We're in one of the worst parts of town, so we're seeing both. But as far as this is a warning to people. You know, the Word of God tells you that be careful when you entertain strangers. They may be angels.
Amen.
And I know I have been tested in that mannerism before with people just – I talk to them and they ask for something, and, you know, and they just disappear, you know. But the point is we are to do that. And it needs to start with your own family. Your own family is like this. If you, he who doesn't care for his own family, the Word of God says you're worse than an imbecile. You know, that's just a terrible, terrible thing to do. But family goes out. You wouldn't believe how, like this, Stan, you ever notice how many Bibles I give away? How does that translate? I give away, I can't keep Bibles. I put them out on the table and they're just gone. Over and over and over. And these people are into the Word of Yahweh, and they really, really study. These people don't have anything else but Yahweh to call on. So anyway, thank you for your support, and amen. I'm at tears, and I forgot how it was going to start the second half of the program, but we need to go back to the column.
Well, I remember.
The one that's coming.
No, yeah. I remember. Okay, we're going to talk about the next one.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to believe that we prayed enough. I want to believe that there's been enough Christians across the land that have prayed for America, and that none of this stuff Coverstone has told us is coming to pass. That's what I want to believe. The problem is, when the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So when the angel says, for example, do not stop bracing, for the storm will not pass until I stop the storm. So brace yourselves and don't look back. When it says three times, brace yourselves, it's saying, bub, you can pray till your eyes roll out onto your cheeks, but this one is coming. Means a lot of this stuff he has got, we can pray until we sweat drops of blood, but it's still coming. And it has to. Not that we want it, but we want, see, this is not our home. We're just passing through. And Jesus is not interested in building a kingdom in this world. He says, if this were my kingdom, then my servants have fought for me. This is not his kingdom. His kingdom is where we're not in a mud body. We're in a light body. So he's trying to win as many people to eternity as possible. And if he has to bring suitcase nukes, death of the dollar, persecution, lopping off a few heads, that's exactly what he'll bring. He is the righteous judge. He knows exactly what to do and where and when and how to do it. But at the same time, we don't. We don't know, like the king of Nineveh said, perchance, maybe God will turn his wrath away. So they just did it on a lark. They just did it, fasting and praying all people and animals, hoping he would turn away his wrath. We got to do the same thing. We don't know. That's the reason I'm speaking into the spirit. I'm speaking into the ear in the name of Jesus. And I'm calling all watchmen. I'm calling you. I'm calling you by the name, by the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to this meeting. The prayers are not done yet. How do you know they're not done? Because Coverstone had another dream on the 26th of September. That's, 6 days after our solemn assembly meeting. And it basically said, more trouble's coming. And I talked to Coverstone. He said, well, like you, I want to believe that it's all prayed away, but I don't believe it has. So I'm speaking to the air. I'm speaking into the spirit by the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're a prophecy student, if you know who you are, I'm talking about if you know who you are in Christ, that you have power and authority to tread upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. If you know you can put 1,000 to flight with one, and two can put 10,000 to flight. If you know that wherever two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. If you know that wherever two or more agree is touching any one thing, you can ask what you will be given. If you know that, if his words abide in us, we can ask what we will and be given. If you know, And if you believe in Dimitri Dudeman's warning and Shane Warren and Michael Boldea and Leslie Johnson and Greg Metzger, if you believe in these warnings we've talked about, if you believe in this, I'm calling you by the Spirit of God to come to Topeka, Kansas for 12 hours of fasting and prayer on Halloween. You get all the details by going to watchmanstrumpet.com. And Dan, I'm asking you to specifically come to, and as many of your people you can possibly come to this meeting. Come to this meeting, watchmanstrumpet.com will get you all of the details that you need to know. Watchmanstrumpet.com.
Okay, let me interject a minute. Amen, and I'm already praying. I've already been praying about that because it does come on, the Sabbath evening. I think that we can make it, but don't hold me to it, but I'm pretty sure I can, and you're close. It's just Topeka, so that's the difference, yeah. Okay, folks, I need to address the people just a second, Stan. Folks, what is going on is the right kind of attitude that you need. Those of you that know your word know that in Ezekiel, this is what happened for the people of Yahweh. Anyway, in Ezekiel, we have chapter 9, and I'm sure you know it, Stan. It says, "And the glory of Israel was gone up from the cherub where he was to the threshold of the house. And he called the man clothed in linen that had the writer's inkhorn by his side.
Right.
And Yahweh, or the Lord, said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abominations to be done in the midst thereof. And to others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young." And what happened was they went through the city and slaughtered everybody that didn't have the mark. And how did they get the mark? By having the right attitude. What was the right attitude? By weeping, crying, sighing, for that's what's to come. Folks, that's what you need to do. You need to be in the right place. If your heart isn't upset over about what's to happen, then really these troubles are for you because it's to wake you up to the point where you know that. And so right now, this is what you need to be doing is weeping and crying. For your salvation lies within that. Back to you, Stan.
Well, those names I was trying to quote to you, if you believe in Dimitri Dudeman, Michael Boldea, Leslie Johnson, Henry Gruber, Shane Warren, Terry Bennett, Marie Sklar, Augusto Perez, Doug Metzger, Bree Keaton, if you believe in the warnings of these people, then you're the kind of people we need there. We started to have this meeting down in McAllen, Texas, and we put out to the pastors there to have your people go and sign up, and we asked for a $25 donation. Why? Because we want to make certain that we're getting the right people there. Well, guess what? The pastors have all of their congregation members on a pushback. They come back and they said, we see no reason why we need to pay $25 to go to a prayer meeting. So we simply pulled the meeting out of McAllen, took it up to Topeka, Kansas, because if they don't see a reason why they need to pray, if they aren't willing to pay $25 to come and pray, they got the wrong attitude. Kind of people we want is the kind of people say, look, if I got it, I'd give $500. I want to go in there. I want to get behind that microphone. I want to take my 5 minutes, and I want to pray like I'm ripping the devil's kingdom wide open. I want to split heaven open. I want to see my prayers go all the way to the throne. I want to see evil in this nation put down. By the way, what we also do is have prayer topics. As you're praying, you can pray with someone that's praying behind the mic, or you can pray silently, or we also have prayer topics that change every 10 minutes. And there are things that you can pray for. You wouldn't think that 12 hours of prayer would pass so fast. But I'll tell you right now, 12 hours of prayer will pass like an hour. You'll be amazed that it's already 8 o'clock in the evening. You'll be amazed. I mean, 48 hours. We kept that microphone going solid through the night for 48 hours. The fewest people that were ever in line was 3. Most of the time, it's 10, 15 people in line. They were scratching the claw to get up to that microphone to pray because they had 450 of their other brothers and sisters praying in agreement with them. And I saw people stand up there, and I mean, they punched into the air. They prayed the top of their lungs. I mean, they were ripping and snorting, and the devil was crying, I tell you. They were making the devil mad, and we were all glad.
Yeah. Amen. not only prayer and agreement, but the fasting, folks, proves that your prayer is indeed sincere, and that's what we're talking about. If your faith believes something bad's coming, then why doesn't your faith lead you to this kind of prayer? Back to you, Stan.
You have not been in a prayer meeting like this. Now, just think about it. In a day and time when it's hard to get two or three people to gather together for a prayer meeting, then you got to lure them in with cake and ice cream, and we're saying, no, it's $25 to come into this prayer meeting. We're going to fast for 12 hours. What? You're going to fast for 12? That's right. Fast for 12 hours. We're going to be in our seat by 7:30. Shofars blow at 8 a.m. We're going to do brief praise and worship. We will have a couple of talks by the ministers, but it is mostly 5-minute limited prayers, and you watch and see. Now, we've got about 100 people signed up right now. Probably around 100, 150 people actually show up to this one, but it is going to be powerful. You have never been in a prayer meeting like this. Now, as a matter of fact, I had one pastor. So he stops me. I'm walking in, he stops me. He said, I got to tell you, this has changed my life. I said, well, quickly, I've got to go back in there. He said, my wife called me. He said, I'm a pastor. He said, I never could get her to pray. She never did. She didn't want to pray. And here I am, pastor. She never wanted to pray. She'd been watching this at home on live stream. And she says, he says, she called me, and her life has totally changed. She's never seen people pray like this. She's never heard these kind of prayers. And she is on fire. I'm telling you, there's fire in the voices. There's fire in the heart. There's fire in the words of these people behind this microphone. You have never been. And, yes, we're live streaming it, but there's nothing like being in a room with some 100, 150 people that are fasting, pay $25 to come to a prayer meeting now. I mean, that's people pretty serious, okay? $25, they understand Dimitri Dedeman. They understand things coming. They've heard Coverstone. They've heard what's going on, and they're coming to kick the devil. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not flesh. They're not writing words, nasty words on the buildings or breaking and burning and looting. That's not our weapons. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, loosing the angels to do warfare. We're going to be sending out the ministering, protecting, guarding, but we're going to send out the warrior angels too, because if the devil knew what we were doing, he'd be sending the National Guard after us, because we are his problem. Even Gorbachev said one day, he said that the biggest threat to communism are those tongue-talking Christians. Now, let me say something about that. See, because we gather under one name, Jesus, to do one thing, pray for America. There is no doctrines. There's no denominations. None of that splitting stuff. No division in this meeting. Gathering under one name, Jesus, to do one thing, pray for America. That's all. We had one guy that wanted to get up and teach everybody dance. I walked up, muted the microphone. I said, sir, we are just praying for America. That's all we're doing. Well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I can teach them to dance. I said, well, not here. We are praying for America. And so we don't have any denominational divisions in there at all. So whatever you believe, as long as you believe in Jesus, you are going to feel comfortable and welcome at home here. You get signed up. You go to watchmanstrumpet.com, and you get yourself signed up. You get to that meeting. And I promise you, look, Dan knows me. Long time, I promise you, you have never been in a prayer meeting this powerful in your whole life, and this will probably be the last one of them, simply because the election is going to take place 3 days later. This is your last opportunity to be in a prayer meeting as powerful as this. As a matter of fact, also Coverstone said that in one of these meetings that there's going to be a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire set upon people that are praying and fasting, if I can find it here. But I'm not finding it right now. But he said it's going to happen in November. Well, one of the people reminded me, and they said, well, even though you're doing it on October 31, which is Halloween, he said, as far as Jerusalem, that's actually in November. So I asked Coverstone about that, and he said, yeah, he said, could very well be. Even he said, this changed my prayer life. He said, I've never been in a prayer meeting this powerful, never. I've never seen people pray like that before in my whole life.
Okay, well, Stan, we got to break in. We got about a minute till I got to say goodbye to you. Tell them where they can find you, and we'll have to say goodbye.
Okay, all right. Well, here's what you go to watchmanstrumpet.com. I've said that lots. So then also go to prophecyclub.com. Got some books on the front of the page of the website. You want to order those books, and the best chance you can to get through those books before you come to the meeting. Come to the meeting. Don't miss this once, last, and only time in your lifetime to be in this kind of a powerful prayer meeting.
Well, amen. Well, thanks for being on with me, Stan. And I do highly recommend that newest book I just got. I'm reading How Pre-Trib Won. That is a fantastic book. And I like what you said about the 501(c)(3) church in it. That's dynamite. But I got to go. I'm going to have to say goodbye and shalom to you. Bye-bye, Stan.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, folks, Solemn Assembly, go to prophecyclub.com. You can find out about it. The links will be with this when you listen to it in podcast. If you're listening live, just get a hold of me or go to the pastor's page. You'll find it. But we must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.